السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
آج میں پھر آپ کو صحابہ حضرت مسیح موعود علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام کی مجلس میں لے کے جاؤں گا, ان کی روایات جو بیان کر رہا ہوں. یہ روایات ایک عجیب نقشہ کھینچتی ہیں ان لوگوں کے ایمان کا, اور اسی طرح حضرت مسیح موعود
Hazur says that today I will once again take you in to the gatherings and company of the Sahaba, that is the companions of the promised Messiah on whom be peace, as I continue to narrate their accounts. These accounts depict an astounding picture of the faith of these persons and also of the gatherings of the promised Messiah on whom be peace. Hadrat Walayat Shah Sahib, son of Hussein Ali Shah Sahib, relates, I had very few opportunities to meet the promised Messiah on whom be peace. This is because my job was such where I received very little leave. I took the initiation as a result of a dream. In the dream, I am at Headworks Matupur, where the canal begins, where I have been posted. From the wall of the government quarters, in the courtyard of which I was sleeping, I see a gathering of people, in front of whom is a saintly person, extremely handsome and wearing most beautiful clothing, wearing a crown which sparkles so much that one's eye cannot even rest upon it. He passes by me and climbs upon the roof of my quarter. In other words, there was a rally in which there was a group of people. He describes the saintly person who is leading them from the front, who passes by the wall. So there he calls the azan, the call to prayer, using a bugle. The sound from it emanates far and wide. Thereafter I come to learn that they are offering their prayer. Subsequently, he returned from that same wall. He thus describes in the dream, when he passed by my bedstead, he addressed me and stated, Brother, that remove the filth and impurity from inside and throw it out. In the dream, I stated that that is very well. When the saint went further, I inquired from the friend who was behind him, Who is this saint? One amongst them said, Do you not know who he is? This is Hadrat Mirza Sahib. That same Fajr, my friend the late Dr. Muhammad Ismail Khan Sahib knocked upon my door. When I came out, he said, Shah Sahib, you have become an Ahmadi. I asked, how is that so? He said, this night I saw a dream that you come and sit in the clinic. I go inside and open my trunk and take out a most excellent and beautiful gown and put it upon you, which fits very well upon your body. Thereafter, I brought some brilliant buttons and placed it upon that gown. Therefore, it was not only he who saw the dream. In fact, one of his friends was also an Ahmadi. Allah the Almighty informed him through a dream and indicated that he has been inclined towards Ahmadiyyat, or that he will become an Ahmadi because he was good-natured. In any case, he narrates that a short while after, I was at my in-law's house, the late Sayyid Akbar Shah Sahib. The late Mirza Ghulam Allah Sahib, who was a neighbor, came to me. It was Friday. I went with him to Masjid Aqsa. There, he seated me near to the minbar. When the Promised Messiah, on whom be peace, arrived, he requested the Promised Messiah alayhi salam to take my bayt, my pledge of allegiance. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam, with great kindness, took my hand in his blessed hands. The other people who were to take the initiation put their hands upon my back and took the bayt, the pledge of allegiance. There is similarly another account of initiation of Hadrat Inayatullah Sahib, who says that I took the bayt, the pledge of allegiance, in 1901. At the time, I was approximately 15 years old. When I came to Qadian for the first time, I brought a bottle of perfume along with me. I travelled by foot and stayed at night in Batala. I looked at the bottle and all the perfume had spilled, apart from a few drops. I was extremely sad. When at the time of the evening prayer, the Promised Messiah alayhi salam came on the roof of Masjid Mubarak, I shook hands with him. I started pressing the Promised Messiah alayhi salam. I stated that I brought a bottle of perfume for you, however it spilled on the way. I present the bottle for His Holiness. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam replied, you have received blessings for the full bottle. That is to say, there were just a few drops of perfume left in the bottle. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam accepted it and said that you had intended to give a gift and thus have received the blessings of giving a full bottle. He says that after the prayers I took the bayt, the initiation, and I stayed there for 10 days. He says that it happened once that on the way back from Qadian I arrived in Batala. A landlord or a farmer was with me and I stayed at Batala overnight. The landlord asked that, did you take permission from His Holiness to leave? I said no. I was upset that I had not taken permission for leave. He said, at night I saw in a dream, His Holiness is sitting on the bedstead, eating pita bread. He instructs me to eat it as well. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam ate half of the pita bread and the rest was eaten by me. His Holiness stated, go, you have permission to leave. He said that I was a completely illiterate person and I suffered from a stammer, but now I am completely fine due to the prayers and attention of the Promised Messiah on whom be peace. Hadrat Sheikh Atallah Sahib relates, one day I was standing near to the round room where the shop of Babu Fakhruddin Sahib Multani was located. His Holiness the Promised Messiah alayhi salam came himself in person to the door of Masjid Mubarak and called out to me, Mia Atawala, put this letter into the letterbox. I was extremely delighted by this, that His Holiness remembered my name so well. On a daily basis, the Promised Messiah alayhi salam at the time of Maghrib would drink raw milk in an ordinary glass. One person said to the Promised Messiah on whom be peace, Your Holiness, you should not drink raw milk. The Promised Messiah, on whom be peace, responded, the respected prophets, peace be upon them, would often drink raw milk. A short duration later, when I was working in the Department of Telegraph, I was struck by an extremely strong fever. Rather, I fell severely ill due to tuberculosis. I took leave and went to Qadian. I was staying at the house of Hadrat Maulvi Nuruddin, Khalifatul Masih Awwal, may Allah be pleased with him. because it was through him that in Jammu I converted to Islam. Due to this deep and spiritual bond, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I began treating me. Early in the morning, after giving me rice and a boiled egg, he would give me medicines. Eating all of these things that I was not used to eating, the taste of my mouth became bad. He said once in the evening, I made a plea to respected Amma Jan, the mother of the Salam Sahib and the wife of Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I, that the taste in my mouth is always bad. If there is any stew or anything salty to eat, the taste in my mouth will become fine. She said that Maulvi Sahib will become angry. However, using a cloth, she filtered the stew of chilies and peppers and gave it to me. That is to say, she cleansed the stew and gave it to me. He says the next morning, when Hazrat Maulvi Sahib Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I checked my pulse, he stated, "What did you eat at night?" Now, very expert doctors take a test and still cannot assess. However, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I checked the pulse and said, "What did you eat at night? Your pulse is beating very fast." I replied that nothing. He left his dars, that is religious lecture, and quickly went home and inquired from his wife, "What did Ataullah eat at night?" She said that after eating food, he insisted and ate some stew. He became very angry at her and also at me, that you gave such a wrong statement. He states that nonetheless, Hazrat Maulvi Sahib mentioned to the promised Messiah alayhi salam of the lie that I had told and also of this tale of carelessness in my diet. He said that he does not care at all for his health. He is suffering from TB and as a result of that illness became very weak. The promised Messiah on whom be peace also became extremely upset by this. He said, "Finally, my 2 months leave came to an end. Hazrat Maulvi Sahib was extremely concerned for my health. He prepared medicines which he gave for me to take away and use. I will also pray," he said. I came before His Holiness and said, "Your Holiness, today I will return to Rawalpindi because my leave has finished. Please pray for me as my health is poor." His Holiness prayed and stated, "You should pray in your prayers with great humbleness, humility and with your soul melting. Write letters regularly to Qadian and visit there as often as possible." He further stated, "Stop being careless in your diet." For the promised Messiah alayhi salam had remembered his carelessness in his diet and said, "Eliminate this carelessness in your eating. Make a firm promise to God Almighty. Allah the Almighty is most forgiving and forbearing. He will most certainly grant you good health." He says, "When I returned to Rawalpindi at approximately 1:30 at night, I saw a dream in a foreign language which I could not understand. Astonished, I fell in supplication before God Almighty, praying most earnestly, 'O Lord, your being is mighty and dominant over all speech. Explain to me the interpretation of this dream.' Allah the Almighty, demonstrating His special grace and mercy at approximately 2:30 at night, caused my tongue to emanate, 'Healthy, healthy, healthy.' This repeated sound woke me up, meaning you have received good health. For approximately 20 years, that is, at the time when he was relating this, up till now, I have never even suffered from a headache in illness. Also, in all other aspects to the help and succor of Allah the Almighty, He provided such means that I also had children granted to me. He previously did not have any progeny. With the grace of the Almighty Allah, He granted me 3 sons and 4 daughters. There is a Sahabi, a companion of the promised Messiah alayhi salam, Hadrat Malik Barkatullah Sahib, son of Malik Niaz Ahmed Sahib. He narrates, "Although my father, Malik Barkat Ali Sahib, was an Ahmadi from 1897 and 1898, and along with him, I had also been an Ahmadi since childhood. However, in 1904, when my age was around 14 or 15 years old, I took the initiation of the promised Messiah myself. Whenever a person took the initiation, we would again take the Pledge of Allegiance, so that we can join in the prayer that the Promised Messiah alayhi salam would offer after the initiation. At times, there would be many people coming to take the initiation. People would take off their turban, they would extend it to the hands of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam. All the people would hold on to the turban, and in this way, the initiation would occur. This is an account of Hadrat Dr. Umar Deen Sahib. He narrates the following. I was born on 28th July 1879. I took the bid, the Pledge of Allegiance of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam, on 30th June 1905. I undertook the Vasiyat on 23rd July 1928. He then also has written his Vasiyat number 2898. He said that I was the president of the Nairobi Jamaat for 2 years from 1924. I was also a member of the administrative committee. I have been the auditor of Jamaat Ahmadiyya Nairobi for 15 years. This is at the time of his relating this account. For 3 years, I have been the secretary Visaya and secretary Ziafat, that is, hospitality. I arrived in this country in February 1900 during the era of Dr. Rahmat Ali Sahib, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Sufi Nabi Bakh Sahib, accountant, and Dr. Basharat Ahmed Sahib, and so on. I witnessed great numbers of people accepting Ahmadiyyat as a result of the good morals, compassion and kindness of Dr. Rahmat Ali Sahib. This was the first opportunity when my ears heard the call of the message of the guide of this era. Now observe, only observing the good morals, compassion and kindness of a person were many people inclined to this way, that what is this religion, who is this person, and then they became an Ahmadi. Nonetheless, he stated, I submitted the decision of my fate before the Lord. In other words, he supplicated to Allah the Supreme regarding his fate. With great humility in supplication, fortitude and perseverance, every day in tahajjud, I started praying that, O my beloved Lord, the Lord who knows the unseen, accept my earnest supplication and guide me. Enable me to tread on that path which in your knowledge is correct, lest I am not thrown away far from the straight path of guidance. For I am humble, weak, a sinner, and of less knowledge, and so on. He says, thus, my Lord accepted my earnest supplication, and a series of seeing true dreams began. I was shown two dreams with great clarity. Based upon these dreams, at Gorego Station, which is in the district of Kusumu, which is on the border of German East Africa, where I was the in charge of the hospital, on 30th June 1905, through a letter, I took the bear the initiation of the beloved of God. Then what happened, he said, what happened after the initiation? I started receiving that delight in my worship which I could never even imagine. For that was the period of the descent of the angels. In every mail there was fresh revelation of the beloved Promised Messiah on whom be peace, and you would hear how it was fulfilled. My heart was always yearning to meet the Promised Messiah on whom be peace. Restlessness increased beyond all bounds, that is, to meet the Promised Messiah on whom be peace, because he had previously taken the initiation by letter and not by hand. He says that ultimately the time for my leave came near. Allah the Almighty infused in my heart the idea to give a gift or offering to him. He says that I thought that I should take 4 ostrich eggs to the Promised Messiah alayhi salam, and I decided upon this. I had to try at the German port to obtain this and to acquire a permit, because it was not permitted from East Africa. In October 1907, I departed for my country. When I arrived at Gujarat, I found my late father and also my late brother in opposition to Ahmadiyyat. In every single prayer, I started crying in supplication for them. He says, Allah the Almighty helped me. my father, along with a few friends, agreed to attend the Jalsa Salana. That is, he pleaded to them repeatedly to come and he prayed. Then finally they agreed to come and attend, that is, the father and the brother. At the Jalsa Salana of 1907, along with the Gujarat Jamaat, we arrived at the beloved place of Qadian. As soon as I arrived, I saw an astonishing scene. All the people, and all the saintly people, were extremely restless and yearning to meet the promised Messiah on whom be peace. They were trying their level best to achieve this. I was shocked and concerned to the extreme, because I had come as a traveller from a far-off place to visit there for only a short time. For 2 years I had been longing to meet the promised Messiah alayhi salam. It was my heartfelt desire to find an opportunity to meet him alone. But this did not seem possible because there was a lot of rush. It did not seem like he could meet him alone. He said the Jamaat Ahmadiyya Gujarat were busy eating food in the kitchen. Whilst I was engaged here and there trying to meet the promised Messiah, I was passing by one of the alleyways. I saw a person there who was standing and asked him, and said that I have come from a far off country. I desire to meet the promised Messiah alone. Tell me a way that I can do this. He replied that from this store there is often an elderly lady maid of the promised Messiah who comes to and fro. Inform her of your wish. We were still in conversation when the maid came into view. I ran and said, Mrs., I have come from a very far off country and wish to meet the promised Messiah alone. I will be most grateful if you can convey the message that I wish to shake his hands to him. The maid replied very happily that, wait, I will come back. She went and returned and gave the good news that my wish had been fulfilled. The promised Messiah had said, come upstairs. I quickly ran and went to my late father along with other non-Ahmadi friends who were with me and called them over. As we went upstairs, the promised Messiah alayhi salam was standing in the courtyard. As soon as he came from the entrance, he said Assalamu alaikum. We were sad that we did not have the opportunity to say Assalamu alaikum first. That is, the promised Messiah alayhi salam said Assalamu alaikum first. My late father, despite being an opponent, fell at the feet of His Holiness. His Holiness, in kindness and compassion, with His blessed hands lifted up His head and said, only Allah the Almighty is deserving to be prostrated to. You should not prostrate to people, you should only prostrate to God. Then this humble one presented the 4 ostrich eggs as a gift to the promised Messiah. He kindly accepted my gift. Extremely compassionately and lovingly, he inquired about my journey and time in Africa. Taking my hands in his blessed hands, he said, you should not attach your heart with this world. He then said, consider yourselves to be in the state of a traveller who takes a ticket and waits for the train. He inculcated me to say istighfar profusely, that is, seeking forgiveness for one's sins. He then said, regularly write letters for prayers. Then the promised Messiah on whom be peace took the bet, the pledge of allegiance of my father and the few other non-Ahmadi friends who were with us. Whilst previously they were opponents, in just one meeting they were ready to take the initiation. The promised Messiah prayed for us whilst crying and weeping so much in the prayers after the initiation that His Holiness's eyes filled with tears. It was difficult for us to hold back our tears. The heart melted and became so soft that until today, that is, until this day, giving our hands in the blessed hands of the promised Messiah, seeing the illuminating countenance of the promised Messiah, and for the tears to flow down the modest face of the promised Messiah, the guidance imparted to me to say istighfar repeatedly, and the guidance to repeatedly write letters for prayers, whence remembered, become like an electric current flowing down the eyes. What a blessed era that was! The massive mountain of opposition, the storm of opposition, and the prayers of the promised Messiah on whom be peace, which eliminated that all, which I witnessed with my own eyes. In other words, that mountain of opposition, was illuminated through the beloved Messiah of Allah the Almighty, and he witnessed this with his eyes. I saw fierce opponents terrified and trembling to compete. Leaving aside the non-Ahmadi scholars, the knowledge of even the highest scholars before this full moon, that is the promised Messiah alayhi salam, was like darkness. Nobody had the courage to even say anything on any aspect before the promised Messiah alayhi salam. In short, we took the initiation. After the prayer, the promised Messiah alayhi salam honored us by shaking our hands and gave us permission to leave. When I returned to Gujarat, when Nawab Khan Sahib and the members heard of my meeting, they said, "Why did you not take us with you?" There is an account of Hazrat Master Abdurrauf Sahib, son of in the same year, he met the promised Messiah on whom be peace. He says, "From the beginning, when I was only a child, and I was studying in Behra High School, there was a clamor in Behra that a person has come forth in Qadian. He claims to be the Imam Mahdi." By and by, this news also reached our vicinity that a person whose name is Mirza Ghulam Ahmad claims to be the Imam Mahdi. He says, "I was only a child. I did not possess much knowledge. However, my brother, whose name is Ghulam Ilahi, started reading some books and took the bet, the initiation of Mirza Sahib. His name is included amongst the 313 companions of the promised Messiah on whom be peace. His name has been included in the list in an Anjami Atam, number 249, under the name Mystery Ghulam Ilahi Sahib Behra. He writes that my brother had written all the names of the people in the household for the bet, the initiation. At the time, I also read the books and pamphlets of the promised Messiah alayhi salam that would come to our area. I would also read this out in the mosque at night. I remember Ganga Basham and Abdullah Atam until now." That is, whatever the advertisements were regarding him. In any case, he says, "I was also enthusiastic to meet Mirza Sahib. After the Maghrib prayer there in Behra, I would sit on a bridge and would pray. O my Lord, if Mirza is true, then take me to Qadian. If he is false, take me elsewhere. That is to say, then I should stay in Behra. There is no need to go there." He writes that, "I gave my examinations for the 10th class in Rawalpindi. I witnessed the lunar and sunar eclipses in the 13th Hijri with my own eyes when I was a student at the middle class. After completing my examinations in 1898, my brother Ghulam Ilahi took me to Qadian with him. At the time, I took the Pledge of Allegiance of the promised Messiah alayhi salam by hand. There was a small mosque at the time. Staying there a few days, I returned with my brother to Behra. Hazrat Maulvi Nuruddin Sahib was acquainted with my brother. Thus he wrote to my brother, 'Send your brother Abdurrauf to Qadian.' Ultimately, with the grace of the Almighty Allah, in 1899, I once again arrived in Qadian. I met the promised Messiah alayhi salam and Maulvi Sahib. Maulvi Sahib knew of my education and that I was poor. In other words, he knew that I was well educated in accordance with the education of the time, but also that I was poor. He thus provided a job for me in the school. In 1899, for 8 rupees a month, I was appointed to teach over 2 classes in the primary. There were 6 or 7 classes at the time. There was no middle class. I continued with this teaching until the year 1902. Maulvi Sher Ali Sahib was the headmaster of the school then. I would teach the primary school students and would also say the 5 daily prayers with the promised Messiah alayhi salam. At the time, Maulvi Abdul Karim Sahib would be the imam. I would sit in the gathering in all 5 prayers with the promised Messiah alayhi salam. He would exit his home, and before the prayers, the promised Messiah alayhi salam would inform me of his dreams, revelations and visions. I also used to enjoy that. At the time of prayer, finding the opportunity, I would press the promised Messiah alayhi salam's feet. For some time, the promised Messiah would eat his prayers at the Maghrib time in the mosque. I would eat with the guests in the mosque. At times, I would also eat from the leftovers of the Promised Messiah. After the Maghrib prayer, the Promised Messiah would sit on the sitting pulpit of Masjid Mubarak and inform us of divinely revealed words, revelations and dreams. The revelations regarding Mr. Dawi, Jaraqdeen, Jamuni and Molvi Sakamdeen and the dreams. All of these things have been published in books and therefore there is no need to relate them again. There are further details in the footnote that he was a pensioner of Sadr Anjuman Ahmadiyya. He was a former head clerk of Talimul Islam High School, Qadian. In 1899, he came to the school and remained a teacher until 1902. Thereafter, he worked in the office of the Review of Religions from 1906 to 1927. He remained the head clerk of the high school. He said, I accepted the Promised Messiah alayhi salam since the time of the lunar and solar eclipse. Then there is an account of Hadrat Maulvi Muhammad Abdul Aziz Sahib, son of Maulvi Abdullah Sahib. He took the bet, the pledge of allegiance or the initiation in 1904. He writes that before I relate the account of my bid, of my pledge of allegiance to the Promised Messiah alayhi salam, I believe it is necessary to relate the account of my late father, Mulana Muhammad Abdullah Sahib, the companion of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam. His accounts are also extremely interesting because he tried to test the Promised Messiah alayhi salam. When he was satisfied in every respect, he then took the Pledge of Allegiance. In any case, he writes that because his father also took the Promised Messiah's initiation by hand, and he has many eyewitness accounts which could not be written down, and now he has departed. In other words, he has now passed away. That is why, as is necessary, it should have happened that Al-Walado Sirun Le'abihi. And it is said in the Persian language. That the work that the father could not do, the son should complete. In any case, he says, my respected father, Maulvi Muhammad Abdullah Sahib, resident of Beni, of the district of Shekhupura. He was of the Ahle Hadith school of thought and was a very major leader of his people. Maulvi Muhammad Hussain Botalvi and Maulvi Nazir Hussain had appointed my father as a deputy commissioner of the Anjuman Ahle Hadith. In that area, he was considered a very major leader and he was acting as a representative for them. Because of his fame, the people of Mozateh of district Gurdaspur, who were Ahle Hadith, called him to them. They mentioned that near to us there is a town called Qadian. There is a person called Hazrat Mirza Ghulam Ahmed. He claims to have received revelation. He has made a prophecy regarding having a son which has not been fulfilled. First a girl was born and then after a boy. This was in reference to the prophecy of Musleh Maud. The non-Ahmadi Mulvis were saying this to my father, that first a girl was born and then a boy was born who passed away after a short while. Come, let us go and debate with this person. According to them, this prophecy could not be fulfilled, which the Promised Messiah on whom be peace had prophesied. So my father was called to have a debate there. In those days, the Promised Messiah alayhi salam had not made any claim. Only a series of revelations had commenced. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam was writing the book Barahini Ahmadiyyat. Thus, my father then came to Qadian. A discussion ensued with the Promised Messiah alayhi salam regarding this prophecy, that is, the prophecy of Musleh Maud. He asked the Promised Messiah alayhi salam that if your revelations had been correct, why did that revelation regarding having a son not come true? First a girl was born, then a boy was born and he passed away. Do revelations occur as such? He writes that my father would say that upon this the promised Messiah on whom be peace stated. Did the noble Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam prophesize anything regarding Hajj? Maulvi Sahib responded to the promised Messiah alaihi salam, yes indeed. There is a prophecy of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding Hajj. Upon this, the promised Messiah alayhi salam responded, was that fulfilled in the same year? Did he go in the same year, perform the Hajj and return? Upon this, his father, the Maulvi Sahib, responded, he may have not done Hajj that year, but he did do the Hajj in the following year. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, replied, when did I say that a son will be born in the same year? This is a prophecy of Allah the Almighty. It will be fulfilled, and it will most certainly be fulfilled, whichever year it may be, because this has a duration. It had a specific time. Upon this, the discussion came to an end. Maulvi Sahib did not raise any new question. However, he persisted upon this objection that the prophecy had not been fulfilled. In any case, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, on whom be peace, thereafter, in his advertisement of 22nd March 1896, he mentioned that that promised son would be born within 9 years. And then one after the other, he mentioned this in manifold pamphlets. He writes further himself that that prophecy was fulfilled. Hazrat Khalifat Masih Sani II was born. He writes further that because Maulvi Sahib, that is his father, who had come to debate with the promised Messiah alayhi salam, was well learned in knowledge of Arabic and Persian, also in syntax and grammar, logic and speech, etc. According to his knowledge and understanding, he did not derive any benefit from this reply. That is to say that there was a debate with the promised Messiah alayhi salam, he did not avail of its benefit. And that it is true, kullu amrin marhumin bi awqatihi, that there is an appointed time for everything. He persisted upon rejection. He persevered on rejection and did not accept what the promised Messiah alayhi salam had to say. The promised Messiah alayhi salam gauged his knowledge and then said with complete compassion, he had assessed through his discussions that he is a learned person. Thus the promised Messiah on whom be peace said to him, Maulvi Sahib, I have written a book by the name of Barahini Ahmadiyyat in response to the allegations of the opponents. I have also included a challenge of 10,000 rupees. This is about to be published. If you stay here and then look at the proofs for its publication, it will be very good. We will also remunerate you for the work that you do. Maulvi Abdul Aziz Sahib writes about his father, that, alas, he did not accept this. He returned empty-handed. And in this state of rejection, 15 years or 16 years passed. Although he did not accept this, however, what always occurred is that he had a pious nature. He was a pious and straightforward person. If anyone abused the promised Messiah on whom be peace or mentioned him in derogatory terms, he would stop them and state that Allah the Almighty has even forbid us from belittling the idols of the disbelievers. So it was either this or other qualities that were present in the promised Messiah alayhi salam's personality and became a source for my father's guidance. He said, in this period of silence, this time passed and 1902 arrived. A period of 15 or 16 years elapsed and 1902 dawned. During this time, he had studied the books of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, Jang-e-Muqaddis and Aina Kamalat-e-Islam. This had answered many of the questions that had raised in the Maulvi Sahib's mind. After reading both these books, he received the answers to many questions that he had. However, many new objections were also raised. Subsequently, he noted down the objections in the form of 21 questions. In 1902, he went to Qadian to debate with the promised Messiah on whom be peace, that he will go there and debate with the promised Messiah alayhi salam. He directly went to Masjid Mubarak. He did not inform anyone and he did not tell anyone who resided there. He went straight to Masjid Mubarak and that also had a reason behind it, which will be related later. He arrived at a certain prayer time. He offered the prayer in congregation. The reason why he had not informed anyone is that people had been saying that Mirza Sahib had kept some agents. They would ask everything of the coming guest, as is the habit of the peers, and would send that information in. It was said that there are many doors to the place Mirza Sahib was residing at. So they made all sorts of strange tales. And it is said that different doors are used for different purposes. When a guest enters, then as Mirza Sahib already has information and details, Mirza Sahib would immediately ask that, "Is this your name? And are you from this place and you have come from this work?" And so on. So these were the tales that were in vogue regarding the Promised Messiah alayhi salam. So this is why this Maulvi Sahib had not told anything before. And it is said that through this the guest comes to believe that the Promised Messiah is a Waliullah, a friend of God, because of everything he relates beforehand. So this was in the heart of Maulvi Sahib, that is his father. And he believed that if anyone asks me any questions, I will not tell them anything. It is for this reason he went directly to the mosque and did not say anything to anyone. He thereafter said that this proved to be wrong and just an allegation of the opponents. In any case, because it was prayer time, or prayers were being offered, he offered the prayers by congregation. After the prayers, the Promised Messiah alayhi salam sat on the seating pulpit. Other people sat around him. After a meeting and saying Assalamu alaikum, Maulvi Sahib discreetly grabbed the feet of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam and started pressing it. The Promised Messiah on whom be peace responded, "It is not good to put to test the prophets of God." For it was not his motive to press the feet of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam, it was something else which would be related after. This is why the Promised Messiah said, "It is not good to test the prophets of God." Allah had put into the heart of the Promised Messiah is that he was not pressing him due to devotion but for some other motive. Nonetheless, he said this was a sign which he was able to see in his first meeting with the Promised Messiah alayhi salam, and that was helpful for him to understand the essence of that faith that is Ahmadiyyat. The son is saying this about the father. Alhamdulillah, all praise belongs to Allah. He writes further that the fact of the matter was that Maulvi Sahib would say that I have seen in a hadith or a narration that one sign of the truthfulness of the Imam Mahdi was that his feet will contain no arches. In fact, it will be flat-footed. There will not be many arches there, rather it will be flat. It is with this consideration that he had grabbed the feet of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam. He did not grab it with the intention to press it, but he had grabbed it with the intention to see whether they were flat or arch. Through this he saw two signs. One is, according to the narration, there were not many arches. The second was that the Promised Messiah said himself that it is not good to put to test the prophets of God. The Promised Messiah had not been informed of this by anyone. Whereas there were scores of people pressing the feet of the Promised Messiah, but the Promised Messiah had never said this before, that do not put to test the prophets of God. How did this thought come into his mind, that this person is pressing it as a test? And in reality he was pressing it to test the Promised Messiah. So this was a clear sign that he saw with his eyes and he obtained the means of strength of his faith. Bless Allah Muhammad and the people of Muhammad. Thereafter Maulvi Sahib stated, "Your Holiness, I have a few questions. If you permit, I shall ask them." His Holiness gave permission. Maulvi Sahib presented his first question. So as is mentioned, Maulvi Sahib asked, "The noble messenger of Allah had a wet nurse, Hazrat Ayman. The Holy Prophet ﷺ daily or often would go to her and would honor her with informing her of fresh revelation. She would be extremely happy listening to the revelation. Then the Holy Prophet ﷺ passed away. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq was appointed as the successor. One day he came to meet Hazrat Ayman. She started crying. He said that, "Are you crying because the Holy Prophet ﷺ has passed away?" This was a Sunnatullah, the way of God which has come to pass. She replied that, no, I am crying because today the revelation has discontinued. So when Hazrat Ayman is in favor of the belief that revelation has continued, how can you believe that there is revelation after the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Thus, after a long introduction, he asked this question, that revelation had been discontinued since the time of the Holy Prophet. How can there be revelation now? And you say that you receive revelation. The promised Messiah alayhi salam responded, in accordance with the verse, Kuntum khayra ummatin, do you believe that the Muslim ummah is the best people? Mawlvi Sahib said, yes, I believe this. The promised Messiah on whom be peace stated, do you also acknowledge that the verse, أَوْحَيْتَ إِلَى الْحَوَارِيِّينَ وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَى أُمِّ مُوسَى وَأَوْحَى رَبُّكَ إِلَى النَّخْلِ, that the disciples of the Messiah, the mother of Moses, and the honeybee, this has been taken from various places in the verse, all received revelation from God and still do. Mawlvi Sahib said, yes, they did and they still do. This is a very interesting discussion in relation to preaching. The promised Messiah on whom be peace stated, then is this Muslim Ummah lesser than the companions of Jesus, peace be upon him, the woman of the people of Hazrat Moses, peace be upon him, and also animals, that they received revelation, and the Muslims of the community of the Holy Prophet, who are the Khairi Ummah, the best people, do not receive revelation? Mawlvi Sahib responded, these revelations have been mentioned in the Holy Quran. Has this also been mentioned in the Holy Quran, that there will be revelation in the community of the Muslims of the Prophet Muhammad? Upon this, the promised Messiah alayhi salam stated, when you acknowledge that there has been revelation in the previous peoples, and here Allah the Almighty has taught us the prayer Surah Al-Fatiha, without which, as you believe, the prayer cannot be complete. And it is necessary to say this in every unit of the prayer. The prayer is Sirat al-Lazina an'amta alayhim, that guide us on the path of those people on whom thou hast bestowed thy blessings, and grant us that faith. Thus, when the blessing of revelation is present amongst the people, then, as a result of supplications, why will the revelation not descend upon the people of the Muslims of this community? The promised Messiah alayhi salam said, secondly, with reference to the verse, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنُ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوعَدُونَ, that those who say that our Lord is Allah and then remain steadfast upon this, upon them the angels of God descend and say, do not fear nor grieve. You receive the glad tidings of the paradise that you have been promised. The promised Messiah on whom be peace stated that revelation through the angels is a necessity according to this verse, which is for the believers and the steadfast of this Muslim community. Then the promised Messiah on whom be peace said, thirdly, لَهُمُّ الْبُشْرَ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ, that for the believers, for the best people, there are glad tidings in this world and they will also receive it in the hereafter. Thus, if these glad tidings are not revelation, then what else are they? In this slide, the promised Messiah on whom be peace also presented many other verses to prove the descent of revelation during this debate. Mawlvi Sahib stated, your holiness, it is true, these verses prove the revelation is descending. And it is for this community. Now, when this evidence is found in the Holy Quran for this Ummah, this Muslim community, why did Hadrat Aman stated that the revelation today is discontinued? Was she not aware of these verses of the Holy Quran you have presented? The promised Messiah on whom be peace responded, Mawlvi Sahib, tell me please, that here in Al-Wahiyo, why is Alif Lam used? This Alif Lam indicates towards such revelation that would descend upon the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would relate this on a daily basis to Hazrat Ayman. Thus, the Quranic revelation, the law-giving revelation that was given to the Holy Prophet, has most certainly discontinued. But how does this possibly prove that other type of revelation is discontinued until the end of time, whereas there are verses in the Holy Quran that clearly prove that revelation continues? Mawlvi Sahib was satisfied with this and did not ask any new question. From amongst 21 questions, he asked one and remained silent in satisfaction. After this, the promised Messiah alayhi salam delivered a most elaborate, comprehensive, and logic-filled speech. He answered all the objections and questions that Maulvi Sahib had noted down. Now Maulvi Sahib had not even asked the other questions, but the promised Messiah alayhi salam's speech that he had delivered answered all the questions that he had noted down. He had noted this down and he had it in his pocket. He had not even mentioned these questions to anyone before this meeting. Maulvi Sahib was very surprised. He thought that if revelation did not descend upon this person, then who could have informed the promised Messiah of these questions which he had written down and put in his pocket? He remained silent for a short while, thinking that all the questions that were in my pocket have been answered by the promised Messiah alayhi salam without even me asking. So then he said to the promised Messiah alayhi salam, "Your Holiness, put your hand forward, I do the pledge of allegiance at your hand." Thus at that time, with the grace of Allah, he took the initiation. After that, he never had any objection regarding the person of the promised Messiah alayhi salam. His faith and spiritual knowledge increased on a daily basis. He entered the pledge of allegiance of Hazrat Khalifa Masih I without any complaint. In the era of the second Khalifa, he also took the pledge of allegiance, but he never had any doubts or misgivings. All praise belongs to Allah. So the son, the narrator, then continues that after my father took the pledge of allegiance and returned, many of the people of his local area who were amongst his followers, they had previously thought that if Maulvi Sahib took the initiation of the promised Messiah alayhi salam, then all of us would join the movement. However, what actually happened? After he took the bet, the pledge of allegiance, they all became his enemies and they started making plans to kill him. However, he remained extremely steadfast and competed with them. And he started a series of preaching in an excellent manner. For approximately 18 years, he remained an honorary muballigh. And as a result, approximately 300 people or even more entered into the Pledge of Allegiance and the Jamaat. These were just a few accounts that I have related of certain persons who took the Pledge of Allegiance at the hand of the promised Messiah in whom be peace, and thus enhance in their spirituality, increase in their knowledge of Allah the Supreme, and new avenues and angles of love and devotion of the Holy Prophet ﷺ also opened up unto them. As a result of this love and devotion for the Holy Prophet ﷺ, loyalty, devotion, and affection for the promised Messiah on whom be peace, the true lover of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, emerged forth greater than all other relationships of the world. May Allah the Almighty descend thousands upon thousands of blessings and graces upon these elders and saints. May we also, after coming into the Pledge of Allegiance of the promised Messiah ﷺ, enable us to fulfill the rite of that pledge. May we bring about pious transformations within ourselves and give heed towards this. I was just notified of a sad incident just before I arrived. The details have not yet been received. In Karachi, perhaps just after Friday, a family was traveling. He was the Nazim Amur-e-Tuliba, student affairs of Karachi. He himself was traveling on the motorbike and his family were perhaps in the car. They were shot at. The youngsters were martyred, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Surely to Allah we belong and to Him we shall return. The relatives in the car, the fathers and others are injured. May Allah the Almighty elevate the rank of the martyred. As the details are sent in, the true circumstances will be learned. With the grace of the Almighty Allah, at present, they are not in life-threatening injuries, but please pray that may Allah the Almighty safeguard them from all complications and grant them complete recovery. Similarly, there is also notification of a martyrdom from Gadhialia. May Allah the Almighty elevate the rank of the martyred. As I stated, pray for the injured. In any case, generally, the circumstances in Pakistan behove us to pray, especially may Allah the Almighty safeguard every Ahmadi from every evil. Apart from this, I will also lead a janaza, a funeral. This is a Makarama Sayyida Amtur Rahman Sahiba, wife of Mukarram Sayyid Abdul Ghani Shah Sahib, the late of Rabwa. She passed away on 15th October after a long period of illness. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. She was the daughter of Qureshi Abdul Rahman Sahib, a companion of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam. She was a very pious person, extremely punctual in fasting and prayer, who would give financial contributions beyond her means. Extremely friendly, kind and hospitable lady. She was simple in her behavior and led a very humble life at the time of Jalsa in Pakistan when the Jalsas occurred at the time. At times there would be 50 or so guests staying in her house, and apart from the langar khana, she would most certainly cook some food for all of them. And there would always be arrangements for tea. When she found out that there were some girls being married of her relatives and they did not have any jewelry because of their poverty, she would give some from her own jewelry. As a result of this, gradually all her own jewelry finished. She would always provide the tarbiyat of her children towards serving the Jamaat. It is the impact of that that with the grace of the Almighty Allah, her children are serving in the Jamaat. She was a Musi. In 1953, she was unable to enter the system of a Seed. Amongst her children, two of her sons are Waqf-e Zindagi's life devotees. One is a Muallim in Waqf-e Jadid, and one Abdullah Nadim Sahib was previously in Spain. Nowadays he is in Chile. He could not even attend the funeral. May Allah the Almighty grant all of them forbearance, courage and patience and enable them to continue her pieties. Similarly, one of her grandsons is also a Marabbiya Silsala, a missionary. He is working in Nizarat-e Ishaat in Rabwa nowadays. Similarly, her son-in-law, Munir Javed Sahib, is the private secretary here. Thus, four of her household people are Waqf-e Zindagi's life devotees. May Allah the Almighty enable her wishes and desires that she had regarding her children to be fulfilled. May Allah the Almighty enable her progeny to increase in their pieties and elevate the rank of the deceased. May God the Exalted grant forbearance and courage to the other children also.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'uzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وَدُوهُ يَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ